righty. Hello and welcome to all of you. This is the Media Bids Power Hour. We are delighted that all of you are with us. Thank you so much for joining us here. This is a call that we've been hosting every single month for the last 184 months, going all the way back to 1995. We believe there's an opportunity every single month to take a pause, to listen, to learn, to exchange ideas, to present the very best in news and tools and resources, and we have lots to cover with you here today. Our focus is entirely about advertising sales, publishing, web-based sales, all kinds of the media piece that helps you drive your success. We've been around publishing and publications and advertising sales going back to the mid-'80s. Thank you so much to all of you for joining us. As you're getting settled in, a word of suggestion and advice. Close your office doors, turn off your phones, do everything you can to single task on what we're doing. We're asking you to be fully present, to be able to capture lots and lots of notes here. It's not an accident that we don't have you on the screen and multitasking, because we know the very best in adult education and learning means the more notes you're making, the more you're capturing, the more that you'll be able to deploy the tools and resources. And then, of course, as any follow-up to this, if there's any additional questions you might have for myself or Jed, who will be presenting here today, we're more than happy to field those questions for and with you. Along the way as well, we'll also more than happy to tuck in your questions. We have about 8 pages, Jed, already of questions that have come in, and we'll field any of those through the course of the program. Just send an email to earnest@powerhour.com, or even more simply, just hit reply to the confirmation or the reminder that got you here today. Okay? So with me is the founder, the president, the CEO, the chairman of the board of MediaBids.com. Jed, it's been a pleasure, man. We've done 50-plus programs together. It's always a joy. Thank you so much to you and your team for all the wonderful work. And how about some opening words about MediaBids for the group that's joined us? I'll say a few opening words about Power Hour, and then we're going to dive right into leveraging online tools to sell print and web ads. Okay?
So, all right, great. Well, thanks, yeah. First of all, to Ernest, who really is integral in making these teleconferences happen. He's a huge source of information, and if you are a publication and you're looking for help and advice, he's about the best you can get, because he does a great job and knows an enormous amount. MediaBids is an online tool for buying and selling print advertising. This is sort of a topic that we're going to be talking about today, which applies more to MediaBids than some of the other topics we've talked about. So I won't go into it too much, since we're gonna spend some time later in the hour talking about it. But essentially, we try to use online tools to facilitate sales between advertisers and publications in a variety of different ways. Again, thanks to Ernest, and thank you all for joining us. It's always fun to see the response we get to these teleseminars.
Beautiful. And thank you, Jed, and really looking forward to the program and the presentation that you're going to be sharing. And this is Ernest speaking. My company is Power Hour. I started in the publishing and advertising sales space back in the mid-'80s. I've worked for small companies, and I've worked for billion-dollar groups. I really have an understanding of what it takes to go from the kitchen table into the office setting and into the boardroom. If you can imagine, all three of those opportunities require a different skill set. We help our clients grow via the training and the coaching that we provide. We help our clients expand their business, meaning we have a recruiting division of Power Hour. We help our clients find great people and great candidates. We have a buying and selling division of Power Hour, which is the investment banking side. We have a search engine team of 10 behind the scenes. We understand search engine optimization and how to drive revenue from your website, and we are experts on LinkedIn. We started back in 2003, Jed. We were number 512. Today, there are more than 100 million users of LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is the single best opportunity I have ever seen in more than 3 decades of selling, sales, marketing, and branding that I've ever seen in my history. Last month, Jed, more than 12 million people saw what we had to say across LinkedIn in our sectors and in the spaces that we work in. So it's tremendously impactful. If you're looking for a way to drive revenue, we do expert LinkedIn training, and we'll guide you in and out of that masterfully. Let's dive into our program here today. We've got lots to cover. Please take lots of notes during the course of our program. And if you have any additional follow-up questions, please send us a note. We'll also be posting this on our LinkedIn group and send you a link to that you can come in afterward and participate in the discussions. today talking about leveraging online tools to sell print and web ads. Our first point, Jed, we promised to cover with the group is, in terms of online print ad tools, what's currently available and what do they cost? Let's talk a little bit about that, if we could.
Sure. You know, there's more now than ever, right? And there's some great options for publishers out there today that, you know, that frankly just weren't there, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big ones that most publishers use are, you know, there's LinkedIn, as you mentioned. You're the resident expert on that. There are database companies such as Jigsaw, which really give you access to a variety of different leads and to different companies that you may otherwise not know were out there. You know, and there's MediaBids, which is really the only company that's out there now that is focused on print advertising, buying and selling specifically. You know, obviously, I'm from MediaBids, so it's sort of the topic which is easiest for me to talk about. But I think that there's some interesting lessons to kind of learn from what we've gone through and what we see with online sales and how it kind of applies to how publications might be able to use it.
And let me just frame right here. So what Jed is saying is you're not only going to hear through the filter of what he sees in terms of advertising success, and we're talking, you know, media, advertising, publications, all of that wrapped in that envelope. You're going to hear him talk about what works, what doesn't, what areas to leverage and think about in terms of tools and resources. And frankly, you're going to hear some of the stats and the data and some of the information behind the scenes that he's going to share through his own lens that would never be heard or seen or presented in any other format. Okay, this is really his keyboard as he looks at, and his piano keys as he and his team look at across the advertising and media sales space. Okay, so again, there's a lot that we're going to cover, and you're going to hear from Jed that, you know, a very quiet, you know, I hope this is helpful, and I hope it. Trust me, I'm at the edge of my seat waiting to write the notes and listen to every single time
to be on the edge of their seat.
No. I didn't say the edge of a cliff. I said the edge of my seat. The point being that there is a wealth. So don't let Jed call you off the Christmas tree here. You know, let me just tell you, he's at the highest mountain with data and information and news you can use and trends that you would never get anywhere else if you weren't here on this program here today. So. All right. Having said that, let's circle back to related to the tools and the resources.
Well,
okay.
All right. It might be helpful to just sort of take mm-hmm. a quick step back. I mean,
yeah.
I started MediaBids about 12 years ago, mm-hmm. and I started it as a way to try to facilitate ad sales, because this was a 12 years ago. If you think about sort of the way the world was headed, you know, there were companies like Priceline and Travelocity, Expedia and eBay. You know, we're all coming online, and it was, and you know, and so my thought was, as a publisher of a group of small weeklies, my thought was, you know, if Travelocity or Expedia can get me across the country with three connections on two different airlines, and I can do it all through their website, there's got to be a way to sell print ads in a similar, you know, in a similar fashion, And so, you know, we sort of set about kind of building these processes, which we hope allow that. And just to kind of give you a perspective, I mean, what we're, you know, a lot of our knowledge comes from sort of the successes and failures that we've seen with our own experience with trying to move ad space through online processes. But you know, we have some things figured out. Right now there are just under 10,000 publications that are using MediaBids, and that's everything from, you know, major national dailies down to you know, not down necessarily, but to, you know, small weeklies. You know, on the magazine side, you know, again, it's everything from, you know, very, very niche oriented publications up to, you know, big national you know, well-branded publications that are for sale on every newsstand. There are 14,687 advertisers who use MediaBids. And most of them tend to be sort of regional or national in scope. And we've placed so far this year 12,965 ads as of this morning that were placed in roughly 6,000 publications.
And again, just to frame, so what you're hearing when you're listening to, you know, Jed talk about, you know, 12,965 ads, 6,000 publications, almost 15,000 active advertisers. Again, try to imagine what that keyboard looks like. Try to imagine, because as we go into the meat of this program, he is going to speak with authority and confidence and clarity, which you will and are. The point is that he has a bird's eye view like nobody else that I've ever seen in the world, okay? So recognize when he starts to roll through the meat of what we're going to cover here and the specific recommendations, listen closely, make lots of notes, think about your own strategy from your media, advertising, publication, sales perspective. Think about that and think about what you're doing and what you're not and what you need to be doing so that you can compete aggressively, okay?
I also think it's important for you to keep in mind that, you know, this is our perspective, right? This is my perspective. So our role is different than the role that you may have as a salesperson or a sales manager. You know, some of the advertisers that we're dealing with are different in scope. But however, you know, from what we see, you know, there are many common denominators between advertisers that we deal with and advertisers that you would deal with on a more local level. And I think that there are, you know, in many cases they sort of want the same thing. So we've been doing this for 12 years. We've tried a variety of different ways of doing it. And I guess the main reason why we feel at MediaBids, and I think that, you know, the same could be said for companies like LinkedIn and Jigsaw and others, is that the basic sales process that most print publications use, we would consider to be sort of either, you know, if not broken, certainly in need of an overhaul. You know, if you think back to the way that you interacted with, let's say, for example, a retail store, you know, 5 or 10 or 25 years ago, you know, that experience has changed dramatically. You know, the way that we buy things today is dramatically different than the way that we did, you know, that we bought things, you know, even a short time ago. You know, the most, you know, most sort of, you know, obvious example is, you know, something like, you know, books. You know, if you think back to, when Amazon first came out, the idea that, you know, you couldn't walk into a bookstore and kind of leaf through the pages and browse through the book and, you know, and kind of feel the cover, was something that, you know, people thought was never going to, you know, that the loss of, you know, the inability to do that was just sort of, was something people thought would never allow Amazon to really grow. And, you know, just a couple months ago, Borders went out of business, right? I mean, things have changed radically, and the way people sort of expect to buy that product has also changed. You know, print really hasn't changed dramatically in 15, 20, 50 years. I mean, the way that print publications go about trying to sell today, in large part, is exactly the same way that they always have been, which is fine, except that advertisers are buying differently, right? Advertisers are buying in ways today that they obviously were not when that method of selling was sort of at its prime. And when I say that method of selling, you know, really I'm referring to sort of the, you know, feet on the street, you know, going door to door, you know, relationship-based selling, where you're, you know, where a salesperson gets to know somebody and essentially just, you know, goes out every day asking the question if you want to buy an ad. We sort of operate under the premise that advertisers have changed and that perhaps publications have not changed as quickly they as they could have to try to keep up with that and to try to adapt the way that they sell. So a lot of our processes are focused on trying to give print advertisers the same experience that they might get in other mediums. But we sort of operate under some basic premises, and I made up a list of some of the things that we believe that have changed, and things that publications, whether it's via MediaBids or LinkedIn or Jigsaw or any of the other products out there, however you want to address them, they just need to be addressed as a publication that wants to succeed in today's day and age. I guess our first premise, and it's mainly because, Google is sort of the source of all evil, right? But Google has changed the way advertisers think about advertising. In 1995 or so, I went to a seminar in the greater Hartford area. A big stadium, and there's like loud music, and it was Brian Tracy, who I don't know if he's still around.
I loved Brian Tracy. I used to get let me date myself. I used to get his cassette series,
right,
and I rolled in my car as a rolling university, and I listened in between my sales appointments. I know Brian Tracy very well. His information was tremendous in the early days back in the 80s when I was first selling. Yes.
Right. But and a lot of what he said then probably still applies to today.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that he said, I remember vividly, was he talked a lot about sort of having a third eye, right? You go into someone's office and you use this third eye and you look around and you figure out, okay, they really like baseball. And I know a little something about baseball, so I'm going to talk to them about baseball, And you think back on that, and it's just, I think that's a perfect example. When I was preparing for the seminar, for the teleseminar today, of sort of how things have changed. I mean, I think that in that, that type of relationship-based advertising where you're trying to make a personal connection with the person you're selling to, is much less important today than it was, 10 or 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The number of advertisers for whom that type of connection is important really has been destroyed by Google. And what Google has done is taught advertisers that results are what you should pay for, right? Space, branding, positioning, it's all sort of, icing on the cake, but really what you should be paying for is results. And, for those of you who aren't familiar with AdSense, which is Google's ad selling program, what you're essentially doing is you're putting an ad on AdSense, and then you're paying for the ad based on the number of clicks that it receives. There's a lot of variations off of that online today. Some of them are based on page views. Some of them are based on, actual sales when someone clicks through and makes a purchase on a site. But they're all based on some action, right? And so that has kind of become the cornerstone for a lot of advertisers where they are under the impression that what they should be buying are results. A broad term of results, however you want to define it. And it's not, and that's something which has been difficult for many publications to sort of wrap their head around, because most publications do not believe that it is their job to track an ad, to determine whether or not an ad is working. In most cases, publications believe that when an advertiser places an ad and the ad runs, that's it. It's the end of their job, and so the results generated by that ad become the advertiser's job to determine. And I'm here to tell you that is a huge, huge mistake. If publications want to survive and want to grow in the upcoming years, even as they transition you know, as they transition, you know, 20, 30 years from now from a print product to an electronic product, you publications have to put themselves in a position where they are the aggregators of results.
And again, just to pause, as we're talking about publications, we're talking about the overall umbrella of advertising sales, both print and online. We're wrapping all of that in. And each of you within your advertising space on the publication side, on the web-based side, on the e-newsletter side, in the entire media space, Google is absolutely doing their job. They're doing what they do best. But quite honestly, we have a significant opportunity because we have a significant voice with our readers, a significant voice with our advertising clients, prospective clients. But the key piece is, how are we leveraging it? What is our message? What sets us apart from just the Google AdSense that we're talking about here today? Correct, Jed?
Right, exactly. And it's how to really put yourself and your publication in a position to compete with all of the options an advertiser has out there and all the expectations that advertisers have today. So you know, just to go back to that for a second, you know, if publication, you know, if Google worked the way that publications do, where they said to people, look, you know, we got this cool site, you know, you can put your ads on our search engines. But, you know, what happens after that is really your problem. We don't know if it's working or not. You've got to tell us. You know, I can guarantee you that Google, you would not have heard of Google today. You know, the key component in Google's entire system is their ability to track results. And we're going to talk later on about how you can do the same thing. But tracking that results and understanding how your advertisers are doing and being able to share that information with them is absolutely critical.
Absolutely. And Jed, I know I've told the story of Mr. Kung Koon and his carpet cleaning service in prior programs, but, you know, his words so rang to me. Mr. Oriente, no response. Kung Koon here from carpet cleaning, no response from your advertising. Why have I heard those words ringing in my head since the mid-'80s? Was because I wanted a better way to not have to say, gee, I'm sorry, I guess the ad didn't work.
Right.
I wanted a better way to track and measure everything that I was doing so I didn't have to apologize. And we look at today the ability to track by phone inbound leads, which we'll talk about, the ability to track what's happening on an e-newsletter, the ability to track what's happening on a website. Today, we're living in the greatest time in the history of ad sales of any kind. No apologies, fact-based driven data, and that's the very essence, if we really step back and look at why Google's been so successful, because they track and click and count everything that they do, and hence the reason that they're growing, right?
Right, exactly. And they not only, you know, they track it, but they, you know, they give their advertisers the information, and they basically have framed it in such a way. I mean, it's essentially the same thing as charging for an ad, but they've framed it in such a way that advertisers believe that it's a no-risk proposition. Right,
mm-hmm.
That they believe that when they put an ad on Google, if they're paying, you know, $1.50 per click, that that enough clicks are going to pay off that they're then going to be able to justify, you know, a much larger budget than they would be able to justify if it wasn't perceived as being such a guaranteed, such a guaranteed response.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that publications can do. You know, we do it with almost every single one of our ads. You know, I mean, so we're doing it with more than 15,000 ads right now. You know, we have a way of tracking every single one of them, and we'll get into that in a little while. But you know, the other thing which we sort of seek to do here is try to make advertising buying easier. You know, the actual process of buying a print ad for the average merchant can be a very, very burdensome one. And as a result, print really takes a beating because people migrate to things that are just easier to do. Compare, for example, the process that it takes to buy an ad online. You know, we've been talking about Google. You know, to set up a Google campaign and get an ad running, you know, nationwide in, you know, in anywhere you want with a variety of different keywords, you know, probably takes you, if you don't have much experience, somewhere around 30 minutes. You know, to read through a media kit and compare it to another media kit is something that could easily take you hours. You know, so publications need to understand and need to really sort of work towards simplifying their products, you know, to making it, helping those advertisers make that decision. You know, it's something that we worry about a lot here at MediaBids and try to tailor our processes to really, to really be as simple and as straightforward as possible. But it's something that publications can even do on their own. You know, Ernest has talked a lot in previous teleseminars about media comparisons, which you know, go a long way towards solving that problem, essentially giving an advertiser all of the information that they would really need to make a decision about a variety of different publications. And I would encourage you all to listen to that teleseminar. He spent an hour just going over, you know, how to prepare a media comparison and what are some of the pieces of data that need to be in it, and some of the advantages of it. Because, you know, it's that kind of an approach that a lot of publications still don't take, you know, and as a result, when you require the advertiser to do work, they tend not to.
Yep, and just to dovetail behind what Jed is saying, the point about media comparisons, over the last 5 or 6 years, twice we've come back and revisited the subject. It is absolutely mandatory when you're going out in a selling environment so that you can compare your print publication versus those in the market, your e-newsletter versus those you're competing with, your website footprint as well, you know, taking that total media, you know, environment and being able to speak very fluently. You know, today is Thursday, tomorrow is Friday, here's our print versus here's their print, here's our web versus here's theirs. You have to just be so fluid. And I know that's a challenge, and we know it's a challenge because advertisers have so many choices. But if you don't provide the clarity, if you don't know your sector, if you don't know the advertising choices better than your clients and prospects, then you can't guide them. Then you are truly just selling space, and you really haven't invested yourself and your time and your resources into both the relationship and into your professional approach. Okay? So I realized that, you know, in my earliest days yet of selling advertising, I could look across the bow and I knew exactly where my 3 advertisers were. Then I went into Los Angeles and we had maybe 14. Well, today we might be 44. And frankly, if I were sitting behind my keyboard or going out and making presentations in person to my marketplace, and there were 44, I'd have 44 media comparisons. End of story. Because being a sales and media professional never stops. It just means that we have to adapt to the environment. The great news is that when you have those 4 or 14 or 44 media comparisons, I can categorically promise you your competitors will not.
Right.
Okay? All right, Jed, let's circle back. Where to next?
Well, you know, I think it might be instructional to just, I'll just really briefly sort of go through how we approach the different processes. But I think that the main point in all this is that, you know, a lot of this sounds very, very negative, you know, in that, you know, it's all things that publications should do. But the main reason that we want you to do it is because it gives you such an advantage, and it tells such a good story, because print really does work. You know, there are many, many examples that we have of big national advertisers who prior to using us and prior to sort of, you know, using some of our ways of tracking ads and some of our systems, had really not been doing print at all. But when you expose them to this and you expose them to real numbers, they see that print is a better investment in many cases than any other medium. You know, it's generating a higher return on investment than online. You know, it's generating better customers who return more. So there's a real good story to tell. It doesn't mean it's going to happen with every single advertiser, but there are certainly going to be, you know, very positive messages that come from some of the things we talked about. But it can't happen if you don't do it, and it's not going to be something that advertisers are going to, you know, come to on their own. You know, so what we've done over the last 12 years, we've sort of built, we've had some systems that we've built that haven't worked, but the three that we have now all work well. We have a system where publications put up ad space for sale. They name the price, and essentially it's like buy it now on eBay. And we're trying to make it as simple as possible for an advertiser who doesn't have a lot of time, doesn't have a lot of experience, to look at some basic demographic facts about a publication and to make a choice about what it is that they, you know, that they want to buy and just buy it. You know, the idea of being able to buy a print ad online is something that that many publications still are sort of adverse to. And unfortunately, and there are good reasons to being adverse to it, you know, in the sense that, you know, you don't have a chance to kind of fully explain your product or fully sort of sell the customer in ways that, you know, that you can if you have someone on the phone or in person. Unfortunately, there are an enormous group of advertisers out there who just don't buy that way, who just, you know, have grown up and have sort of lived in this world where everything that they're purchasing media-wise, they're doing online, and they don't see a good reason why print should be any different. So we've had good success with a process where publications are essentially just putting ad space up for sale, and we then advertise it to advertisers registered on our site through email and e-newsletters that are focused specifically on the demographics that they're looking for. So, for example, we know if there's a chain of pet stores in the Midwest, right? We know what type of publications they're most likely to be interested in based on their prior buying experience and based on what they've defined as their target demographics. Then we can match it up with a publication, and so we have a much higher success rate of selling just by doing something as simple as giving them the opportunity to purchase an ad with just a few clicks in a publication that has demographics which match their desires. So that's been a good process for us, and we've sold, you know, over the years thousands of ads using it. We also have an auction process, which is essentially like an automated RFP, request for proposal, which allows an advertiser to sort of decide how they want, you know, what types of publications they're looking for, and then publications let them know what their budget will buy or how much space they can get for the amount of money that they have to spend. And then our third process, which has sort of come on strong in the last 4 to 5 years, is per inquiry advertising. And what this is essentially response-based advertising in print, where we are putting ads in publications and then tracking the results and giving, you know, and paying publications based on the results that they generate. You know, many publications really love it. We've got about 3,100, 3,065 to be exact, publications that are running per inquiry ads today. You know, other publications don't like the idea, but it's a really powerful tool to being able to put an advertiser in your publication that may not otherwise advertise there, and seeing what the results are going to be, because we do track everything, and we do, you know, we are able to give exact data on what is occurring as a result of the ad.
So just to pause here, and I know we have the back portion of our call jet, and there's three key areas that we're going to be covering here to finish up the rest of our program, but advertising offers, advertising auctions, and per-inquiry advertising are the three models that you're working directly with, publications and advertising mediums of all kinds. But in reverse, for those of you that might like to learn more about how you might deploy this within your publication or within your media venue or your advertising sales and so forth, again, to reach out to Jed and MediaBids, listen, they understand this backward and forward, and they're giving you both an opportunity to deploy what they already know or to learn also what might be beneficial in terms of your own advertising success within your marketplace. It cuts both ways, and there's a lot of opportunity here that we're talking about. So if we could, Jed, let's transition to point number two, okay, and let's talk about the 1-800 toll-free numbers and how that ties into advertiser acquisition and retention and overall ad performance. What do we know about this piece? Because this is a piece where you're really mirroring the very essence of what Google is doing and helping the your publications and advertising mediums, yes?
Right, exactly. So for every ad that we put out, with some really minor exceptions, we put our own phone number in the ad. And the way this works, for those of you unfamiliar with 800 numbers, our 800 numbers are really just transparent pass-throughs. They don't really exist. Essentially what they do is they take a caller and they point them from point A to point B. But the caller themselves is not impacted in any way, shape, or form. So if you were to call, if Ernest is using an 800 number, you know, for his office, and you were to call Ernest, you're actually being transferred, but you would not know it. You were being transferred to his landline, but you as the caller are just being moved along in a split second. So we use these 800 numbers as a way of tracking the response that is being generated by each ad. We purchase these 800 numbers from a third party. We use a company called CallSource, but there are lots of good companies out there. The key component when thinking about 800 numbers is that you want to be able to get the information in real time. And generally speaking, the information that you should be able to get from any 800 number service is the name of the caller, the person who actually picked up the phone and dialed, where they called from, in most cases their specific billing address, the duration of the call. You can see exactly how long they spent on the phone, and the disposition of the call. You know, if it was connected to the call center or to the advertiser's point of business, if the phone was busy, you know, if there was, you know, some freak thing happened and it didn't connect, you're able to see that, you know, see that information. And you can see how this could be very valuable, you know, because this is all information which directly impacts your ability to go to an advertiser and say, you know, this is how well your ad did. I see it generated, you know, 27 phone calls. By getting that information, out of the ad, and by being the ones who sort of control it, you know, you really put yourself in a great position to not only you know, sort of educate the advertiser, but also to sell more to them, because you know you're able to kind of alter the campaign to try to generate the most results. And now, again, assuming that you sort of buy into the general premise that more and more advertisers, you know, are results oriented.
And if I could just insert this piece related to phone tracking, toll-free numbers. I've been around this space for more than a decade. I've actually worked with a number of the leading companies who provide the technology behind the scenes. There's lots and lots of options and lots of different price points and services. But the point is that, again, going over to Google, which we've talked about, you know, in this program and in prior programs, is that they've reset the bar, that they are able to capture every click and every telephone call because of what we're talking about here. So when you pause and say, well, gee, if that's what they're doing and that's what I'm competing with, and if that's what advertisers are expecting, then the point is, how could you not have that in place? In fact, if you pick up any automotive, real estate, rental publication, any publication in any of those sectors and peel open any of those ads, every single one, every realtor uses a tracking number.
every apartment community, every real estate development, every single automotive. There are categories where you can't even walk into the meeting unless you're talking and walking like this, okay? And it's also moving into all of the other sectors, in part driven by Google, who says, listen, everything we do is measurable, everything is trackable, and therefore that's how we roll, okay?
Right.
So just in a very important point, have you been on any of our prior calls, you've always heard us circle back to this. If you're new today, and we have a huge turnout for our program today, if you're new, please make note of this. This is a really important conversation, and the very best way to come back around to the tracking piece, reach out to MediaBids, and they'll guide you, and they'll help you, and there's all kinds of learning. And then, of course, on the selling, sales, coaching, training side, then we're on the other side saying, now that you have it in place, now what do you do with it? Now that you have it in place, how do you sell? How do you renew? How do you compete? And how do you outrun your competitors? Okay? Jed, back to the key points here.
You know, yeah, sure. I mean, so phone numbers obviously are a great way to track response in print. Other ways of tracking which we use are URL tracking. You know, if you put a unique URL in an ad, you're able to then determine exactly the response that is coming from that ad. This is a little bit more dicey than phone numbers, only because unique URLs tend to be less appealing to the consumers than a phone number. You know, we generally see about 25% of the response. We see URLs only make up about 25% of total response. So if you have an ad with a phone number and a URL, you'll get about 4 calls for every 1 URL visit from a print ad. Online, obviously, it's a little bit better, but even online, if an ad is running on an e-edition or a e-newsletter, even online, where someone has to do is click, phone calls and URL visits are about even. So there's something about print, about people who consume print, that makes them still a little bit more phone oriented for reasons that are unclear to me. But the data just shows that it's URLs as a method of response, as a standalone method of response, are not nearly as effective as phone calls. However, you can track them, and the way to track them is generally through an analytics service, which is placed on the advertiser's website. Now, again, it gets more complicated because it requires the advertiser to actually participate, and we're trying to get away from that, right? So URL tracking is something that, you know, that you may not want to cross that bridge until you sort of have some of the other methods under your belt. The third big way of tracking, which is becoming more and more effective, is through either 2D barcodes or text codes. And there are some pretty nifty services. Talk about text first. There's some pretty nifty services out there which allow you to auto-generate a unique text code. We use a company called Goss RSVP, and this is the same Goss that made all the printing presses. But they've switched to providing online tools now for tracking a variety of different advertising, and it's pretty neat. It's a good service, and you can really in some cases generate great results through text ads. If it's the right demographic, and you know, we've had the most results in national women's magazines, not all that surprisingly, but text can be a really compelling response mechanism. The other big one, which is coming on now, is something called 2D barcodes. Again, this is something that's probably more like second generation for you in your publication after you've crossed the phone bridge. But 2D barcodes are something which are probably going to be here to stay and are going to become more and more used by consumers. And what those are the, I'm sure that you've all seen them, they're kind of the weird symbols, look a little bit like Rorschach images that appear in ads with a variety of different dots and empty space. And you take a picture of it with a smartphone, and assuming you have a 2D barcode scanner on your phone, which more and more are coming preloaded, it will then redirect that user to a website. And this can be a great way to take a print ad and to get web response. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about how difficult it can be to get people to actually type in a unique URL. However, you know, with the 2D barcodes, people don't really have to type anything. They're just taking a picture. They're being taken to a website, and on that website, they can interact with the advertiser.
So if we could pause right here. So as we're talking about this whole tracking and advertising and retention opportunity, there's many ways to do it, Jed. Let's transition if we could, because I know we have this third point about prospecting for advertisers online. Could we say a few words to that, you know, for those that are participating with us here?
Sure. If for those of you who haven't been on teleseminars, Ernest is much smoother with the transitions than I am.
You bring so much information.
You should not take the next teleseminar you listen to will be better, because Ernest will be more in charge of it.
You have a fountain of knowledge. You have so much here. It's how do we bottle all of it into any of these programs? So I love it. So let's chat a little bit about finding new advertisers online and some of the easiest ways to get rocking with that.
You know, I think that, you know, obviously, you know, again, talking about MediaBids, and we'll get to some of the others in a second, but you know, speaking about MediaBids, I mean, what we've tried to do is give publications the opportunity to sort of put their product in front of these other advertisers, of advertisers that they may not otherwise know about. You know, advertisers who are, for whatever reason, you know, more focused online, more response-oriented, and more likely to, you know, to make a purchase through these methods we described earlier than they would be if a salesperson just called them out of the blue. Having the data that we just spoke about, right, being able to kind of tell a story about the response that your publication is generating with for, you know, a variety of advertisers, but for advertisers that really particularly, you know, have some correlation to the advertiser that you're prospecting, you know, is really critical. I mean, we have become for us here at MediaBids, you know, if we're talking to an advertiser, that's sort of the first thing we do, is we see how other like advertisers have done. Or if an advertiser is asking us about a particular publication, we give them data specifically on how that publication has performed. You know, and that really oftentimes seals the deal, because when you're showing them that kind of data, then it just becomes division, you know. Then it's, okay, well, the ad costs $500, and, you know, we can reasonably assume that we're going to get 25 phone calls. The thing we're selling is, you know, $10. You know, we think it'll work. You know, it becomes an equation which is not hard to sell. So what we really find is that the data and the tracking that creates the data really sort of makes the prospecting much easier. You know, we give publications the ability to sort of tell their story online, using our site to reach out to advertisers and tell them about what it is that they've seen with other advertisers, what it is that their demographics are, and why they would be a good fit. But there are lots of other great options as well. You know, LinkedIn, for example, Ernest is sort of the expert on LinkedIn, but LinkedIn is an enormous resource for getting your name in front of advertisers and for telling them about yourself and to really telling your story.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also an opportunity
quite honestly, there's 800,000 groups. I mean, the earliest days for me was, okay, let me set up my profile. Then people were looking to connect. Then I was connecting with them. Then I found groups. And I was like, oh, my gosh, these groups are my clients and prospects. Then I went on to form groups. So there's a multi-pronged strategy, okay, how to set up your profiles, how to participate in groups and make nice with the moderators, how to run groups, which is really the asset on the other side. We run more than 60 groups, more than 200,000 members, okay, and that is a sellable and saleable asset, and you are perfectly positioned as a media advertising publication expert. It fits perfectly into the work. And then how to what to put out, what to position, what to brand, and how to position yourself as a thought leader. All of those strategies weave in and around. And there's one more piece related to LinkedIn. For those of you that are the executives, the owners, the CEOs of your company, we know we have lots of you on this call. There's another piece, which is the asset. The asset of LinkedIn, while you're paying team members and they're out making connections and making posts and doing all of this work, when they leave, do they, in fact, leave that with your company, or do they take that? There's some real ethical and real business and sort of some non-compete kinds of conversations that most companies and most leaders haven't even figured out yet. Okay, so we are in the forefront of that, advising our clients in terms of the strategies and how they set up LinkedIn and how they deploy that across their company. Okay, so Jed, circling back, what else related to resources to work with advertisers?
Well, another company which I'm pretty fond of, which I think is a great resource for any publication, is Jigsaw.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you pay a pretty nominal fee, and you can get the names and contact information of almost any company out there. Oftentimes, multiple contacts at that company. So I'd recommend that for anyone who's trying to, you know, reach advertisers outside of their area, because it's something that I've used quite a bit, and it can really be a great tool. The main point in prospecting in what we would consider to be sort of a different era of advertising is, when you're making a pitch to an advertiser, it's focusing on what it is that your publication is likely to produce. This is sort of a language that some publications don't feel comfortable with, but it's only because they have not taken the time to compile the right amount of data. Once you have begin to compile the data and begin to see how your advertisers are producing in your publication, it changes the conversation that you have with your existing advertisers and prospective advertisers, because it you're no longer talking about sort of, you know, buying space and hoping. You're talking about results that have been generated, results that will be generated, and if results are not generated, if you're wrong, then even that is a better conversation to have, because now you're talking to advertisers about what could be done differently. What can be done better? You know, what can we do with the ad to make it generate more results? That is a conversation that advertisers are much, in my experience, are much more comfortable having than the conversation which publications have every day, which is, you say your ad isn't working well, you want to buy another one? You know, I mean, you have to be able to produce the data and talk about what it is that can change with the ad that can be, you know, that can be corrected. You know, oftentimes it's something as simple as placement, size of ad, you know, color, in some cases the offer which is actually included in the ad. You know, all of these things have a huge impact on whether or not an advertiser is successful. But you can't tell if an advertiser is successful until you begin to actually look at the results.
Yep, absolutely. So as we look across the bow and realizing that we are just a few minutes before the top of the hour, recognizing we've covered so much, is there anything else in closing that you'd like to share in terms of what we've learned or what we know in terms of the buying of advertising or the research and the development of what's happening on the other side as far as advertisers? Anything else you'd like to share in closing?
I guess the last thing, you know, I'd just like to say is, you know, have some confidence about your publication. I mean, it just it, oftentimes when I talk to publications, they hear from advertisers all the time who are tracking the results themselves or allegedly tracking the results themselves that their publication isn't working. And frankly, you can't believe it. It just isn't true. You don't truly know how your publication is performing unless you start tracking the data. And you have to have some confidence that it can perform, you know, and it does. In most cases, you know, publications that we're placing ads in do pretty well. You know, obviously there's cases to the contrary, and you know, and there are times when it's the advertiser's fault, and there's times when it's the publication's fault. But you can't correct it unless you know it's a problem. So if you take anything away from this last hour, you know, it would be my hope that you begin to do that, that you begin to think about your ad sales in terms of the response you're generating your advertisers, and you know, and you really begin to sort of you know, to alter your methods of selling to accommodate that.
Yep, absolutely. And let's, if we could, I'm going to roll through about half a dozen of the questions that that tie right into what we're chatting about. So we have a question from Jack. Where do I find ads that are sized for online advertisements? Jack, the response that is actually the other way around, make certain that your ad sizes are compatible with agencies expect from a standard size in terms of the ads that they're going to buy. And if you need any help resourcing that, just send us a follow-up note and we'll point you in the right direction. There was also a couple questions, Jack, and also David asked about are print and web ad packages attractive to advertisers, and the answer is absolutely 100%. They're looking for you to have that. They want to see a print component. They want to see a web component. In the middle, they want to see the e-newsletter component. You have to have all three. It's like a three-legged bar stool. You have to have all three together to be rocking. And if you don't, you're just not competing. And, you know, we might have taken a softer stance 5 and 7 and 10 years ago. No longer. You have to have all those pieces to compete in the world that we're in. There is a question from Alex in California. Do you have special programs for ethnic media? Do you just want to quickly comment on that, Jed, just related to media bids?
Yeah, I mean, we sell a lot of ads in ethnic media, and basically it just comes down to, you know, to profiling the publication correctly. You know, the demographics in ethnic media, you know, are different. You know, for some advertisers, they're extremely attractive, and for other advertisers, it's less attractive. Typically, because they tend to be smaller in scope, but you know what it seems like the big mistake that a lot of ethnic media companies try to do is, and niche publications in general, is try to sort of make the case that they're just sort of a notch below the New York Times in terms of their total distribution and their but when in actuality, you know, mm-hmm. the fact that you are so focused is an attribute, not a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So I'm hoping that Alex is helpful for you, and of course you can follow up with us, and we'd be more than happy, Jed, of course, and his team would be more than happy to address that for your particular needs. There's another question from David in New York who says, how do I counter the statement, I just advertise online? Embrace it. Hey, congratulations. Wonderful. Makes sense. Now let's talk about how you can work online with us and our e-newsletter and our publication and weave it all together. Oh, and by the way, our LinkedIn group. We'll bring it all the way around on the B2B side or our Facebook on the other side if we're doing B2C. So, David, the answer is yes, embrace it. And then the other point to that is, do you have a media comparison for those who you're competing with online that when your advertisers are talking about that? Where are the top 3, 5, 7, 10 websites where your advertisers are going to? You positively need to know side by side what they do and what they don't bring. Timothy asks a question in Florida. How can 1-800 numbers help? Timothy, you heard a good portion of this call is all about that. The flip side of it is how come you don't have it in place, or what would it take to get it in place? Let's be even bolder on the other side. They will positively, absolutely, categorically help and make a world of difference, and you need that to compete. Let's see. Jaro in California asks, in San Diego, how do I get the maximum exposure on the website? Combination of using your print, combination of your own branding and marketing, combination of LinkedIn, combination of Facebook, also combining search engine optimization strategies and strategic alliances. We wrote the book Smart Match Alliances, and we detail a lot of those strategies, Jaro, in there, but it's a very good question. You're in a perfect place in order to get and gain exposure. It's different than any other business. Publications, media, advertising, websites that all focus in and around this subject, guess what? We have to drink our own Kool-Aid and go out and advertise and market for ourselves. Gina in Ohio asks, how do I measure web advertising? Okay, web advertising. You heard Jed talk about the ability to track it via toll-free number, much like Google does, and then also be able to measure the clicks, measure the Google Analytics. There's an art and a science to knowing what's happening there. If you're referring, Gina, to your own site, that's one thing. If you're talking about advertisers, you heard Jed talk about that being a little bit trickier. Ryan in Alberta, Canada asks, what's the best way to recover an old dead ad account? Ryan, we've done entire calls on that. But long and short of it is, a lost ad who becomes a former advertiser takes three times more work to fold them back in. It is so much easier to keep them, and many of the strategies we talked about today will help you immensely from that point of view. Two other quick questions here. Sonia asks, how do I handle the content? I don't have the budget. Sonia, two things. Number one, in part because you haven't created enough demand for your publication, you have not created enough value. Sonia, I'm holding a key in my hand. Will you please pay me $10,000 for this key? It's a piece of metal. You pause and go, Ernest, I'm laughing at you. Why would I ever pay that? Sonia, the key is a key to a Rolls Royce. It's worth $200,000. You can buy it for $10,000 and sell it for $190,000 profit. Do I have your attention? I create value. Only you can create value in the minds of those who you're looking to bring into your publication. If you don't, then it's just a key rather than the key to a Rolls Royce. The other part about budget means they don't have a budget for you. Budgets are flexible. Think about it like a club sandwich. Anything can be added, removed, added in, revised, and tweaked. What they're saying to you and signaling to you is you haven't given me enough of a compelling reason for me to go move the other things that I'm doing in order to open up the opportunity. So just a comment to Sonia. Jed, one more and then I'll pause. Doug in Louisville, Kentucky says, what is the best way to determine the value of added values like editorial, e-blast, web banners, full rate card, all of those pieces? Doug, that's part of the bundle together, and all of that needs a careful analysis. We look at CPM, cost per thousand. We look at your competitors. We look at your rate card, and we craft and help to not only build a package, but then also how you merchandise it in your rate card is also key as well. Okay? So, Jed, I don't know. That was maybe a dozen questions I just rolled along. Did anything jump out at you before we pause, realizing we're right at the top of the hour here?
No, I mean, I think you handled them well. I mean, the main thing is, you know, there were a couple questions in there about response and how to, you know, go after an advertiser that isn't. That may not be currently advertising or has never advertised or used to advertise. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of that becomes being able to show them data which shows them what's in it for them. You know, if an advertiser is, you know, can be convinced that buying an ad in your publication is going to generate enough sales to justify the price, they're going to do it. You know, it doesn't become a decision about whether or not to invest this money. It just becomes a decision about sort of, you know, how much to do and whether or not the data is, you know, is correct and applies to them. It's a much different conversation, and I think one that's a little bit easier to overcome.
Absolutely. And we have one last question in real time, and then we'll pause our program here today. Veronica asks, how do I get advertisers to know that you reach the Latino market? What is the platform? Without knowing your publication, kind of seeing the space and sector, it looks like you're in the kind of the wedding space. So we think you mean, and you can follow up with an email afterward, but we think you mean, is it to reach the consumer to let them know you're available, or is it to let advertisers know that you're reaching out to the Hispanic market, or both? But Veronica, in the end, there's only one person or one one company in the whole world that can do it and do it better than you, or is you, meaning that you, your team, your organization, your company, and so forth, all of the marketing and branding would have to communicate that, and how you present your media kit, how you go out across the variety of social media platforms, how you present yourself as a thought leaders, how you speak, how you write, how you form alliances, all of those things will will be very, very clear that you're in the Latin market and Jed is in the Russian market and I'm in the Polish market. I mean, you know, you have to go out and define, you know, what flavor of ethnic branding you're going down, and then how you deploy that is the very same sales, marketing, advertising strategies that we go out and help our advertisers. Guess what? We have to drink our own Kool-Aid and deliver it for our own publications, websites, e-newsletters, and media programs, okay? So it all ties together. Let's pause right here, Jed. We're just at the top of the hour. We have covered so much information. Thank you so much for all the research and the prep that you did here. Absolute pleasure to be working together. So all of you know, Jed, again, is the founder and the CEO of MediaBids. Take an opportunity to go look at their website. You'll see much of the information that we've covered that's there for you. And if you have follow-up questions, please reach out directly to them. They do a wonderful job working with our publications and advertising clients and deliver very, very nicely on the back end of that. Most importantly, we hope that today's program has been helpful. This was our 184th overall of the last 16 years. We hope that we'll continue to have you come to our programs. We'll be back again in the month of July. We'll send you an invitation for that, and we are always looking for topics and questions and ideas for the kinds of things that we can cover in our program. So stay tuned, and we'll be in touch. Jed, I know we already have our date calendared in July. Then I know in August we're mutually traveling, so we've got one more program between now and September 1st, and we'll be ready to go in July. Okay?
Thanks very much, Ernest.
All right, buddy. Make it a great day. Take care.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.